Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest this morning is Amber Stott. She is the founding executive director. That's the boring part, but my favorite part of your title, the chief food genius at the Food Literacy Center.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Good morning. And I know your mission is to inspire kids to eat vegetables. That's kind of important. And the website, if you want to follow along at home, foodliteracycenter.org. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning.
Well, let's start right here at the beginning. What is food literacy?
Food literacy is understanding the impact of our food choices on our health, on the environment, and also the economy, whether that's our local economy from buying local food or maybe your home budget because you know how to cook and you know how to do everything from eat the carrots to the green tops on those carrots.
You can eat the whole carrot?
You can.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was funny. I was having a conversation with somebody I just met the other day, and I said, we live in Auburn. I said, what are some of your favorite restaurants? And he says, I don't know. My wife and I cook every night. What?
Fantastic.
Who does that anymore?
Right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? So why is food literacy needed? What makes it so important?
It's critical because we have a 40% childhood obesity rate in the Sacramento area.
Sure.
1 in 3 kids has type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
And all of this is preventable if we eat our vegetables. But we do know that many folks don't cook anymore. And so knowing what to do with a raw eggplant or a raw zucchini, that's a skill set that's missing in America these days. So if we want to protect our health, we need to eat those vegetables and we need to know what to do with them. So at Food Literacy Center, we are teaching kids at a very young age to cook with these beautiful vegetables so that they can grow up healthy.
And potatoes are a vegetable, right?
They sure are.
But if you deep fry them and turn them into French fries, it's...
They lose a lot of the things that are great about them.
No kidding. So who are the kids that Food Literacy Center serves?
We work specifically with low-income kids, and mm-hmm. that's because they're the most at risk for these diet-related diseases.
Right.
Part of this is because many of them don't have enough food at home. And so these families, if you're on a tight food budget, maybe on food stamps, you're going to buy calories that you know your kids will eat.
Right.
And a lot of times it can take kids 10 to 15 tastes before they decide they like a new fruit or vegetable. So that's a big risk for a family without a big budget. So we take that risk on for them at Food Literacy Center. We do something called Produce of the Day in our classes. And every single day we bring in a new fruit or vegetable for our kids to try. And that could be cactus. It could be kohlrabi. And we're trying to get kids to become food adventurers. And eventually they do go home, and 79% of our kids are going home and requesting the foods they've tasted in our class from their families. And the parents tell us they actually really love that because they don't quite know what fruits or vegetables their kids want. And when they make a purchase, they want to make sure that it's going to be eaten. So that's a big success for us.
Absolutely. And I would imagine coming from you, you get the information to the kids and the kids bring it back to mom and dad, because if mom and dad say, hey, try this. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we are way cooler than the parents.
Well, yes, of course. And if you're dealing with low-income people, there's a lot of time where they're living in what's called a food desert.
Yes.
Yeah, mention a little bit about that.
We're working with families that are primarily in what you described as a food desert. So these are places where you don't find a traditional grocery store. Perhaps families are buying food. Maybe there's only a corner store or a liquor store where maybe there are some bananas and apples
and
overpriced.
Beef jerky. Yeah.
But largely they're not going to have the same access you or I might have in our neighborhoods where the grocery store is just down the block. You might be talking about taking 2 different buses to get to the good grocery store where this produce exists. So that is a problem. But the bigger problem is that education factor, because most of these kids that we're working with, they eat 3 meals a day at school because they are on free and reduced lunch programs.
Mm-hmm.
So they have access at the school to a beautiful, gorgeous salad bar in all of the schools at Sac City Unified, but they need to know and understand what's on that salad bar.
Sure.
And the education component that we provide is that critical gap.
What do the kids learn in class?
they learn to cook. We start with a peanut butter sandwich, actually, because we want kids to not feel ashamed.
I can make that, yeah.
Right, exactly. And yeah. And every kid will tell you the same.
It's crucial.
But have you ever followed a recipe to make a peanut butter sandwich? Of course, no one ever has.
Right.
So this is how we teach them to use a recipe, because there's no way they're going to fail.
Right.
So therefore, they won't be afraid of recipes and they won't be afraid of cooking, because by the time they've made that peanut butter sandwich, whether they use 2 tablespoons or 3, doesn't matter. It's not going to ruin the recipe.
Right.
So we start there, and we start with something that we know these kids have access to and that is affordable, because
right.
we don't want them to feel badly about their food choices. Because
right.
a lot of times when it comes to talking about healthy food, you'll find folks making others feel bad for their diets. And mm-hmm. we don't want to do that, because we don't know what these kids go home to. And we want them to feel like they're already making positive choices. And hey, can we make a suggestion to make it even better? So let's swap out that jelly for fresh fruit slices, for example. Kids immediately begin to start thinking, oh, if I need to eat a fruit or vegetable with every snack or meal, what other things can I add to the foods I already eat to make them a little bit better?
Throw a little peanut butter on one side, some sliced strawberries on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, you're making me hungry, just like you always do when you come in, Amber. So how does food literacy class improve the health of kids?
We're just getting them excited about fruits and vegetables at this early age, because kids don't have an eating habit built yet.
Right.
So by reaching them before they've built up a habit, we can get them basically addicted to fruits and vegetables, right? So that they're loving them, that they're going home and asking for them, that they're seeing them on their school salad bar and they're choosing to eat those. It's amazing what we see in a 3-month period in our program. Kids will come to us, you know, saying, ew, vegetables are gross. And within 3 months, they see our t-shirts. You know, we wear a big broccoli logo on our t-shirts when we walk into the classroom. They're running up to us and saying, what fruit or vegetable are we going to try today?
Nice.
And it becomes their favorite part of our program is trying new fruits and vegetables. You heard that right, parents. Their favorite part of our program is trying new fruits and vegetables.
Wow.
So we just make it that fun.
I'm telling you. I know. That was my next question, too. I was going to say, what do you guys do? How do you make learning about health and nutrition so fun, Amber?
We have a set of what we call broccoli boundaries and radish routines. So first, by establishing boundaries, we're creating an environment where the kids are able to succeed.
Sure.
For example, one of our boundaries is don't yuck my yum. So we tell the kids when they see a new vegetable and they start to go, ew, we say, oh, don't yuck my yum.
Don't
you know,
yuck my yum.
Exactly. That may be your neighbor's very favorite vegetable.
Right.
And you don't want to hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
And eventually the kids will actually start to call us out on that, and they'll say, oh, don't yuck my yum. And so that sort of gives them a shift in their attitude where they're more open and willing to trying these new things. So once we've established that type of a boundary, then we have our radish routines where we're practicing again and again the behavior that we want them to repeat. That is having a produce of the day every single week where we're just saying, hey, take a bite. If you don't want to, that's fine too.
Right.
And then making that recipe every single week where again and again they're learning the habit of cooking and they're
sure.
learning the habit of tasting. And we make it fun. We do a veggie cheer and we have fun facts. And then we're just generally happy people.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yes. And yeah, you guys just like to have fun. Exactly.
Yep.
What's your favorite veggie cheer?
Oh my gosh. Well, we have a veggie cheer. I could do a little piece of it for
well,
you. It's
yeah,
kind of
give
long.
Me a little bit. Yeah.
All right. V-E-G-G-I-E-S.
V-E-G-G-I-E-S.
Fruits and veggies are the best.
Fruits and veggies are the best.
Go food literacy.
Go food literacy. See, that's easy. And that's fun, too. Absolutely. I love it. All right. Other than the peanut butter and jelly, what's your favorite recipe to make with the kids?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many good ones. One of my favorites, we do it for Chinese New Year every year as a tradition. It's actually a Singaporean recipe, and it's called Yu Sheng, and it's a noodle salad, but there are lots of components like fresh mandarins and cucumber and daikon and shredded carrot, and each one has a significance. And you take chopsticks, everybody gets a pair of chopsticks, and you toss it as high into the air as you can, and everyone says, low high, and it's to bring luck to the new year.
Oh, nice.
And it's super tasty. We use like a pomelo dressing on that one. That's really fun. We make a carrot carrot top pesto year round.
Wow.
That you take the tops of the carrots, those green parts that normally you throw into your compost, you can actually eat those. You add a little basil and a little Parmesan cheese and olive oil, and you throw that in your food processor, and suddenly you have amazing pesto that you can use as a spread or a dip. We also have this great green dip, and all these recipes, by the way, are on our website. We have this green dip that you actually put romaine lettuce into your blender with green onions and jalapeno and lime, and it makes this amazing dressing that you will put on every taco you eat for the rest of your life once you taste this. It's Peruvian.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
So these kids are eating well and on a budget.
The magic of the blender, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of change do you see in the kids over the course of a school year? I mean, I bet they come in going, oh, I'm not going to try that. I don't even want to look at that.
Totally. They do. It's phenomenal, the change that we see, and so quickly. And the best part, too, is in the schools where we've worked, say, 3-5 years, we can walk in with anything and these kids will just try it.
Nice.
In the schools where we've, you know, we're brand new, we've never had food literacy before, you definitely get many more trepidatious children.
Right.
A lot more hesitation. Sometimes it takes them 3-5 weeks before they're willing to start eating the produce of the day.
Right.
You know, because we're giving them weird things like a radish or kale. Many of these kids have never seen broccoli before.
Right. Right.
Over time, though, they begin to see how their peers' faces light up when they taste something that they enjoy. And little by little, it just, once one kid tries one vegetable and likes it, their whole world opens and they're willing to taste almost anything. So we really do have 94% of our kids in our program will taste the produce of the day every single time we give it to them.
Outstanding. Growing up, mom and dad used to always, they weren't harsh. They didn't say, you have to eat that. And they said, you have to at least try it. Take a bite. See if you like it or not.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way to go.
And as an adult, it's so important that we give those opportunities to our kids. And that's the thing that I think we forget to do so often. Well, I've seen that they like broccoli. I'll just get them broccoli all the time.
Right.
Or we do a thing where we'll tell children what they like before they've told us.
Mm.
And it's really important to catch ourselves and to not do that. Like if a kid doesn't eat their bell pepper once, the next time we'll say, oh, you don't like bell pepper, remember? Well, actually,
no.
Maybe just that one day Bobby didn't like bell pepper, but tomorrow he might love it. So
yeah.
Let's give him that chance.
He might have been full at the time.
Exactly.
You know. You're listening to The Public File. I'm Doug Thomas, and my guest this morning is Amber Stott. She's the founding executive director and chief food genius, I love that title, at the Food Literacy Center. Foodliteracycenter.org is the website. We just entered Food Literacy Month. Tell me all about it.
Yeah. In 2012, I worked with the California legislature to pass a resolution across the state declaring September as Food Literacy Month. So we celebrate and we hold a contest where kids vote on a veggie of the year.
Nice.
It's really fun. We get local chefs involved. So this year we have Kurt Spataro, Rick Mahan, Ravine Patel. We've got restaurants from Ella to One Speed who are participating, and basically these chefs each get assigned a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have to go into our school and try to vie for the kids' votes.
Ah.
And this year we're bringing back all the winners from our previous years.
Uh-huh.
And they're recompeting for the title of Veggie of the Year. And these chefs get really into it. We've had emails from them saying, I like to win contests. I mean, they're getting a vote from a kid and they're
right.
Treating it like it's the James Beard Award. So
absolutely.
It's really fun.
Yes.
Yeah. And it helps us to raise awareness about why we're doing this in the first place and the need for kids to eat their vegetables. And then we get the community to join up with us by competing for a People's Choice Vegetable of the Year. And that one, you just quite frankly pay for the vote.
Oh, okay.
And then we turn those dollars into programs for kids.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's outstanding. You guys definitely make it fun, Amber. No question about it.
Thank you.
Who are the food literati and what do they do?
So these are the folks that I mentioned that are helping us to raise money for our kids.
Food experts.
So,
yeah.
Exactly. So food literati at Food Literacy Center, a lot of people think, oh, you guys work with chefs, you must be foodies.
Right.
But we call ourselves food literati because we take it one step further. Of course, we love food.
Sure.
But what we really love is changing our food system.
Right.
And that requires a bigger level of investment. And so these folks, our members, our food literati, they're telling us we're committed to the creating this change in our community together because it really does take a village. All throughout the month of September, these food literati, some of them are joining these teams to team up with the chefs and try to win the People's Choice Award by asking their friends and family to also join and help to donate. So I hope folks listening will want to become food literati members and make a pledge to help another kid go through food literacy class.
All right. The suspense is killing me, though. What is the current veggie of the year?
Right now, it is beet. And the chef is Justine Kelly from Sunbasket. It's online ordering service, like you can get a whole meal kit delivered to your house so that you can cook at home. She made a beet hummus last year, and you can get that meal kit.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's bright pink, so the kids love eating it.
So Justine is on the top of the mountain, and there's going to be a bunch of people trying to knock her off.
Exactly.
I gotcha. Okay. So who teaches the kids in the classroom? Can anyone learn how to do it?
Yeah, we actually run an AmeriCorps program annually, and we train them to be food geniuses. We bring in up to 20 AmeriCorps members annually. That's a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And they work full time and they go into all of our classes every single day teaching our kids. And right now we are openly recruiting for new AmeriCorps members. We have about 10 of our slots filled. And like I said, we need 20. So we're looking for good folks. You do not have to have any background whatsoever. As long as you like kids and are interested in this, we train you. Part of the program is professional development. You could have never had a job before. We have one guy who worked 30, 40 years in the print industry and decided he wanted a different career path. And so he joined AmeriCorps. And we actually just hired him after serving 2 years in AmeriCorps. So it's a great place to get hands-on training in a new field. So if you're all interested, fill out one of our applications online.
Foodliteracycenter.org is where to go for that. All right, Amber, please tell me your all-time favorite success story in the classroom.
Oh my goodness, I gotta pick just one.
Yeah, we'll start with one.
Gosh, I'm gonna pick my friend Matthew.
Okay.
Matthew is this great little guy. When I started with him, he was in first grade. And he had all kinds of food allergies. He couldn't have citrus and I think dairy. There were just several things he couldn't eat.
Wow, yeah.
But he was so excited to try everything that we brought him. He didn't even care. And of course, there were times where you would just see his little face fall when we would have citrus on that day.
Oh, yeah.
But he got so excited about food literacy, and he had never seen many of the things we were bringing to class. He just didn't know what they were, but he didn't care because he was just filled with joy. And I remember one day I had this box of just random fruits and vegetables.
Uh-huh.
I said to him, I was like, Matthew, you know, you can have whatever one of these fruits or vegetables you want. He reaches in and he picks up a beet. It's a raw beet. And he takes a giant bite out of it. There's just like pink juice rolling down his chin and he's grinning ear to ear. And what's wonderful about him is he has stayed involved. He comes into our classroom and he volunteers. He's now going into high school.
Wow.
So he still comes in and volunteers with us. He still cooks. He got an award last year from his principal because I guess he cooks food and shares it with his classmates. And
Holy
he's a really
smokes.
Good student. So,
nice.
Yeah, I just think it shows that it gives kids this positive outlet and this space where they can really shine. So I love that.
And you guys are definitely making a difference. Outstanding. How can our listeners help you guys at the Food Literacy Center?
You can help by getting involved, either by volunteering or making a donation. And you can do all of that through our website at foodliteracycenter.org.
Very fun website, too. There's a lot to learn and there's a lot of fun stuff there, too.
Definitely. We have recipes, we have stories and videos, everything.
Speaking of which, I was looking at your website and the Food Literacy Center was named California Nonprofit of the Year.
Yes.
So congratulations. Tell me all about that.
Thank you. Assemblymember McCarty nominated us for this amazing honor, and we were very thrilled. We've been working with him on various initiatives over the year, and the fact that he saw the value in what we're doing in terms of its improvement for the community. That really meant a lot. We're working together also on a project to build a broccoli headquarters in one of our elementary school campuses so that we can have a little cooking school for the students. Right now we go into school cafeterias and we use what we have, but we do a lot of cold food.
Sure.
We don't have any ovens or anything like that. And so this cooking school will allow us to show kids a much wider range of cooking. We'll have ovens and all the proper things that you would have in your home kitchen.
Spatula, you know, all that good stuff.
Yep, and a food literacy center is not going to be paying to build that. It's going to be built and paid for by a city and a school partnership.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
That's great. When do you expect that to open?
It's probably still 3-ish years out,
okay.
But we're making progress.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. It's early on a Sunday morning. Someone's just grabbing their first cup of coffee. So give me a quick recap. If someone's just tuning in, tell me all about the Food Literacy Center.
Yeah. Our mission is to inspire kids to eat their vegetables. We go into low-income schools, mostly in South Sacramento, and we teach cooking and nutrition so that these kids can develop healthy habits before they've developed bad ones.
Sure.
And grow up eating vegetables and protect their health from these many diet-related diseases that our kids are so prone to, like obesity and type 2 diabetes.
Right. You were saying 40% of kids these days are dealing with those issues.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, I mean, eating right is one thing. And then, of course, putting down the screen, the phone, the tablets, get away from the computer and get out and ride your bike. Have a little fun. Get a little exercise, right?
Absolutely.
Now, what's the one thing our listeners can do today to further the mission of the Food Literacy Center?
Donate. It's the most important thing you can
sure.
do. It takes a village. It really does. And those dollars, we do not charge our schools for the programs that mm-hmm. we deliver. We rely totally on the generosity of our community to help support those. And we learned that lesson very early on, that many schools want to do the right thing when it comes to teaching kids about their health and creating a healthy environment.
Right.
But they don't have the resources. We're working in very low-income schools. And, you know, there are a lot of other test scores and things like that that they have to put their resources toward. So when we can provide the service for free, they prioritize it. And that's critical.
Outstanding. You guys are superheroes. Thank you so much for doing what you do.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining me this morning. Amber Stott, she's the founding executive director and chief food genius of the Food Literacy Center. September is Food Literacy Month. And for all the information that we shared with you this morning, you can go to foodliteracycenter.org. Thanks again, Amber.
Thank you.
This has been The Public File. If you'd like us to help get the word out about your nonprofit event, send the details to sacpsa@entercom.com, sacpsa@entercom.com. I'm Doug Thomas. Have a great Sunday, and thanks for listening.